Welcome to the Black Alert Podcast, your melanated reference for all things Star Trek across all four quadrants. I'm Tia, and today I'm joined by Bridge crew members Raina, Travis, Dre, and Grace to discuss Star Trek Picard Season 2, Episodes 9 and 10, Hide and Seek, and Pharrell. Farewell.
Yeah, we're calling it Pharrell. This is a Black podcast, sure.
A double dose of Star Trek Picard, which feels like a single dose. So,
I'm going to let Grace go.
It honestly should have been one episode, but whatever.
You're not wrong. It definitely should have been one episode. You could have put this in a two-parter. I don't think it needed to be the almost 2 hours that it was. Like, I feel like you could have covered all this in 45 minutes and been done. But you could say that about a lot of episodes of Star Trek this season.
You could say that about this season of Star Trek.
Yeah, Picard. Yeah. Picard started high and ended so low. I don't know what happened. I still don't know what the teaser.
They said, "Forget it. Let's just go to Strange New Worlds."
And yeah, wrap it up. I don't care. Just wrap it up. Just make it work.
I'm thinking about how excited we were when we saw the teaser,
right?
And all of those things that were in it. The Stargazer is like 2 seconds of season two.
Yeah, they put a lot of money into that for not a lot of payoff.
I'm like, okay, all right. We have Paradise Lost references. Nowhere.
Nope.
The
Tablets of Bahala.
Nothing.
Nowhere. Nothing.
It's like, in the background.
We got a background shot as a prop. I was so upset. So much potential.
I said it once on Twitter. I'm gonna say it again. They did too much and not enough at the same time, which is really hard to do, but they did it.
Yeah, I mean, they had nothing. They had like a whole bag load of ideas and no supporting paragraphs. Like, there was nothing to support any of the ideas that they came up with.
It reminded me of the Soul Train puzzle. You know, when they just threw all the letters up there and you had to figure out what the puzzle was. That's exactly how that goes. But we didn't get the puzzle because we had, you know, time ran out.
They just literally threw
everything. I still don't know why we were in 2024. I'm still trying to figure it out. What did it add to the story?
Nothing.
We got to see Guinan when she was younger.
That's about it.
That didn't even make sense. They could have just made Whoopi Goldberg the same. Like, just play that.
Yeah.
They could have CG'd her like they did Q.
Yeah, I would have rather they stayed in like the fascist alternate universe.
And I wanted to see more of that. I want to see what happens to all these other people in the fascist alternate future timeline.
I wanted to see General Sisko.
I was like, Attica Hansen is the president? General Sisko? Like, we've already seen Sisko walking the gray line between wrong and right. Do you want to know what a Sisko would look like in a fascist society like that? I want to see. Can we go see? Did we get to see? No.
They teased this so hard. I was so excited.
All right.
And the thing is, we see, once again, please stop giving these characters these tragic-ass backstories. Because really? His mom? Serious? Okay.
That's where we're starting? Okay. All right. Let me just scroll that part of my note.
Get out of the way. That was terrible.
I don't know how to say this, but I thought if we were going think about how people on Twitter were when they thought Picard had an abusive dad. And I thought it would have been a decent way to show that the 25th century, if they had just stuck with it, that yes, here's Picard, this great figure. He came from a background that wasn't the best, but we had something to still work away from. Like, it didn't, I don't know.
The thing for me, there were two issues for me. I mean, one, I didn't like that they kind of made the mom a mother a victim. And I mean, certainly it was a victim of the illness, but, and she would have been either way, but, I don't know, that's not the relationship that I wanted Picard to have with his mother after all the stories we got during Next Gen about how his father was so surly and didn't want him to leave, to go off to Starfleet. It didn't seem consistent. The one thing I did like was the throwaway line that they used, and it was just a throwaway line, to talk about how he'd sometimes envision his mother as older. So he could imagine that she would, that she'd lived, and that was their way of tying it to the vision that he had with her in the first season episode where no one has gone before with the Traveler.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that worked. And I guess that was the second reference that we got to that. And we'll get to the other reference later, which I am happy about.
Okay. Now, this, y'all may not like me for this one, but I think I would have preferred that Picard's father would have been abusive.
That was what I was going to say, but I was like, maybe I shouldn't say that.
And it's maybe it's too hot a take. Maybe it's a little bit too spicy. But that would have made more sense to me. Mm-hmm. Like, I know it's Star Trek, so there has to be some suspension of disbelief. Sci-fi is not real. But I had a very, very, very hard time believing that Picard's mom, Yvette, would have suffered so much with these mental health issues in the time that she was in. Like, you're telling me that 300 years after the eugenics wars and World War III, we still don't have anything for mental illness? You're telling me in this society, we're still 200 years after the Federation has been formed, we've had first contact, we're interconnecting with species, and we still don't have anything for mental illness?
There's not like a Vulcan therapy, right?
Yeah. There's no Vulcan therapy or Betazoid therapy or whoever telekinetic, empathic species, you know, sit you down, talk to you, touch your face, and deal with all your mental issues. There's none of that. And you're telling me someone like Picard, like that family, couldn't have afforded somebody coming like that? Like today, and I'm not saying the system is perfect. Please don't jump down my throat. I know that there are people who get 5150'd and wrongly and they can't get out. But we have systems, albeit not great systems, in place where people who have gotten to a point in their mental illness where they are a harm not only to themselves, but people around them, they can be committed so that they can get help. Yet Picard's father in the 24th century is locking his wife in a room so she doesn't hurt herself. That's the solution? Really? You want me to believe that? In this society where there's no poverty and no capitalism, that's what we're doing for mental health?
Which is interesting because, like, you, weren't they traditionalists, correct? They were traditionalists, right?
Yeah.
I
mean, and so even if they were, even if they were, there are ways to deal with this. And I agree with Grace completely. I didn't buy that.
Like, I understand that they mentioned that, like, she had these issues, but she didn't want to do anything to help herself. And that's fine. But I'm saying when you get to a point where you are a danger to yourself, people will have you committed. Like, you're going to be committed. Like, you have issues that need to be resolved, especially when there's a child in the mix. Like, I have a hard time believing.
Children.
Yeah, children. I have a hard time believing that nobody did anything. That Picard's father just stood by and watched his wife deteriorate instead of getting her help. I don't buy it.
Guy's Baltar would do that. I'm just saying. It's Guy's Baltar, trash person. Just
yeah. Fair. But even though nobody else, she ain't had no friends, he ain't had no brothers, like,
to be fair, though,
in the community around, like,
Star Trek has always done mental illness poorly. I mean, you look at the episode from the original series that For Whom It's Gods Destroy with Garth of Izar when they got stuck on the mental institution planet.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was just a bunch of people who had various mental illnesses. And then there was that other one where they had the light that flashed. I can't remember the name of the episode. They had, like, the light that flashed that was originally supposed to be a therapy, but then turned out to be a mind control device.
Okay, yeah.
And, you know, it continues the tradition of Trek not being good at mental illness, despite in Next Gen, Beverly telling us we mapped the human brain. We don't have problems like this anymore. Talking about Picard with a headache.
Yeah.
So certainly it seems weird that they haven't also come up with therapies for schizophrenia or bipolar or whatever she had. I mean, exactly. You can give somebody a pill for bipolar now.
Exactly. Right. So, like, I'm not buying it. I'm not buying it, which is why I say I would prefer if his father was abusive. Not that I want that for Picard's childhood, but it would have been more believable. Like, I can believe there are still shitty people in the world, but yeah. I don't believe that there are people with problems like this who can't or won't, or there's no help for them. Like,
yeah.
It just, mm-hmm. I'm not buying it. And that whole thing, and just that thing just took me right out of the show. Like, no, this is not, I can't enjoy this because my suspension of belief is a little too hard. It's broken. That's a step too far.
And I will point out that we know that Patrick Stewart himself grew up in a household where his father was abusive towards his mother. So had they gone that route, well, the star of your show can tell you exactly what that looks like and how a child would view this environment, and they would have been able to tell a much richer story for Picard from that perspective and why he was the way he was. So Grace, I agree with everything. I just could not fully buy into it.
Because I wonder if they started telling that story and they backed off in the writer's room, because it really starts off with, it looks like it's going to be, they're exploring Patrick Stewart's story through Picard, because there are all these interviews beforehand I was reading where Patrick Stewart talks about how the line between he and Picard has blurred over the years. And it really seemed like a great opportunity for them to tell that story, like you're saying, Dre. And it just feels like they just backed off and they went with the mental illness angle instead. And they just, like so many other things on this particular show, they just didn't think it through.
Yeah, it feels like they started a lot and then they just kind of like went a different direction or abandoned it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's really what this season of Picard felt like in these last few episodes leading up to the season finale, which I have problems with.
I think Grace had something to that.
I just want to say, I just want to say, like, because I know somebody's going to listen to this, and like, there's going to be that one person who's like, "Oh, Black Alert Pod doesn't care about mental health." No, that's not it. I appreciate depictions of people with mental health issues on screen, and I understand that it's important to depict people recovering and understanding and working through their trauma, and I know it's important to have mental health depictions like this. Like, and I'm not saying that we can't have things like this, and I'm not saying that the trauma and the story that they were telling wasn't illustrated well. I'm saying that didn't fit in with the story of Picard and those characters. That is what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm going to say, I don't think it was depicted, her mental health, I don't think it was depicted well at all. Because like Travis said, Trek has done a terrible job at depicting mental health. And at this point, when it comes to not just Star Trek, but with any type of media, if you're going to have a character with mental health issues, you need to make sure that you're going to portray it in a way that is in line with what people actually go through, from pre-diagnosis to treatment to them in recovery. Because I really feel like they did not do a good job of even telling us what it was she had. I mean, was it severe depression? Was it some type of trauma we went through? They said, "Oh, she was mentally ill. There was nothing anyone could do."
I think they were vague about it on purpose.
Yeah, I mean, Picard was a little boy at that time, and we're supposed to see it through the eyes of a little boy.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, a little boy's not going to know what his mom's exact diagnosis is. And we saw that she ended poorly. So we're not going to see that whole arc of recovery and everything. But Grace, I just don't think it fit. I don't think it fit the story at all.
It didn't. And I mean, like you said, Travis, it was a few episodes in TNG where it's like, okay, this doesn't fit what we know in Star Trek lore. This does not fit. So you kind of redid some stuff with the canon with this. And I have all kinds of problems with that. There are other things I have problems with too, though.
So we can talk about, we can get to the things you have problems with, which is pretty much everything 209 till 10, you know, just saying.
All right. No. So what are we breaking down next? What else? What did we have problems with after? Because I have a list.
I mean, do we have to do it in order? Can we just
do it in order?
I mean, it was like one episode anyway. So Jurati being the Borg Queen. I don't buy what happened to the Borg Queen.
Yeah, I that was a whole mess. I'm like, why is Jurati going through all this? Wouldn't it have just been easier, especially with the way you guys fleshed out Seven and Rafi? Wouldn't it have just been easier to make it, you know, Seven's thing, and her and Rafi being the one that's able to pull her back from going full Borg Queen instead of killing Elnor? And having Rafi go through all that and suffer like she did, just have her trying to help Seven.
Literally became a queen in the first season.
Thank you. Controlled a whole cube.
I don't understand though why I didn't get the whole Elnor hologram thing in the whole fight with her.
Why was he
running from the Borg? He's a hologram. He's not going to get hurt. Did he take hit points?
Yeah. Okay.
The safeties were off.
Right. I mean, he's like, there should have been like food laying around that he had to pick up, you know.
One at a time. Let's go with Grace.
Okay. I don't want to get too far away from this Borg Queen discussion, but I have thoughts on this hologram discussion. So I'm going to do the hologram thing and then we'll go back to the Borg Queen. So I get that Agnes wanted to hide the key in something that couldn't be cracked or whatever. That's fine. Riddle me this. Why does La Serena only have one mobile emitter? Like, I understand why Voyager only has one mobile emitter. That's technology they stole from the, 35th century or whatever, wherever it came from. But why does La Serena only have one mobile emitter? Like, especially on the ship where Rios continually talks to multiple versions of himself. Like, why couldn't he have, like, all five of those out at the same time? Why is there only one? No. Give every ship, five mobile emitters, okay? They should have had Elnor. It shouldn't have just been, you know, keep away with one holographic Elnor. It should have been like 17 of them and a shell game. Yeah. See if you can find which hologram has the code in it. Find that one. Good luck.
Why did he need a mobile emitter anyway? They told us in the first season that the ship was filled with, this was still the fascist version of Serena. And that one didn't have the holotechnology.
Serena doesn't have. Yeah. Isn't completely decked out with holo emitters, and
maybe that's why maybe that's why there's only one mobile emitter, because it's the fascist universe and they only give you one.
Yeah, I guess
you have one token hologram. That's it.
Yeah.
Yes.
But that's another thing. Like La Serena should be completely decked out in holo emitters, especially with Rios being the way he is on that ship. There's no reason why it shouldn't be.
It was in the first season. The first season was filled with them.
I guess
there's really no reason
Rios was not into holograms like that.
I guess, but it seems a very strange thing to change in this fascist universe. And I'm understanding, in my head, I think it's more we're doing this so we don't have to, you know, copy paste the actors and we can save a little on the CG budget. So we can't have multiple owners. You get one.
You get
one, and Evan Agoria has something to do. It
was completely contrived. Let's be real. Why couldn't it just been Rios holograms? I don't even understand why it's
because
Elnor
it's got to be able to fight. It's got to be able to fight. That's why.
It's a program.
Yeah, and that whole and thing Rios was like, fight, the computer can make a copy of anybody who's been on the ship. Okay, I understand, you know, a full body hologram. I understand that it will have the same voice because obviously the computer has heard you speak. Why is the hologram talking to Rafi like it's a real person? Why does it have memories and stuff? What did you download Elnor's memories into the computer when he died? Is that something that I missed? Apparently that conversation, those meaningful looks between hologram and Rafi should not be happening. What's going on? What was that?
Yeah. I
It don't make sense.
I mean, okay. I can think about how they could do it, but why?
And I'm like, what?
Why would a fascist computer have
the ability to do that?
The ability to read deep looks if people
I
guess
that the plot's going to plot, but like it did not make one bit of sense.
There's a reason to kill Eleanor in the first place.
I mean,
why did you kill him in the first place?
Because they didn't have anything else for him to do in the story.
He didn't even they're not bringing him back at all.
They had him in the beginning episodes for the fight sequences. So that those look good because, like, no shade to, what is it, Allison Pill? Like, you're very cute, but you cannot fight. And, like, I saw the fight sequence, and maybe I'm spoiled. I am definitely spoiled because I watched Michelle Yeoh on Discovery, and we all know that woman can't fight. Right. And when she is not in a fight, the fights look a little bit dry. And Evan Agoria, I know he can fight. Like, we saw him on season one. Like, he did the work, he got the sword, he can do the jumps and the kicks and the spins. Allison Pill, like, I'm sure she did all what she could. But her versus Eleanor felt very like, one, two, turn, step, pause, lock. Like, this is not how the fights go. And I know Eleanor can move faster than this. You do not have me believing just from watching that Eleanor did not wipe the floor with this board queen. I'm sorry. Not believable.
Exactly. I was like, how is he not putting hands on her like we've seen him do several times already? Especially when he has a sword, which he
kept going for guns.
And he was going for bigger guns and he was like, oh, he sees that sword and he was like, hello.
I was like, it's over. He has got a sword.
And it's over. No, apparently not. Not when it's a Borg Queen. That's like his kryptonite.
The Borg Queen was like basically an infant at that point. She should have been easily beatable.
Exactly.
I guess I'm going back to what we were talking about with how did they interpret the face, but how did they pick up his fighting skills too?
Was he training on the
I mean, what? Yeah.
This man doing spin kicks off the wall.
He's a Romulan, so he wasn't ever. I don't know.
Like,
I don't know. Maybe they took readings from the Bible
secret and stuff. Like, where? How?
Yeah.
They scanned his mind. Okay, here we go. They scanned his mind.
Maybe.
And then he died.
He was on the bio bed before he died. So I guess information from that. I don't know.
Yeah, what you saying? They scanned
him.
I was like, we're doing just instant download when you're on the bio bed. It's like, oh, when somebody dies, we just download. It's like, as soon as the bio bed configures, the likelihood of them living is zero. Like, let's start the download. Is that how it works?
And they can Picard them, put them in a new body. There you go.
Yeah, Tia, you need to get a check from Paramount for that one. Because that explanation was good.
Just saying. Okay. Right. Yeah.
What else do I have to say about this?
I mean,
y'all probably already covered this. Why is Soong there? Like, I know Stewart and Spiner can't get enough of each other when they're acting opposite each other. But as far as the story is concerned,
it didn't make any sense. Why is he there?
Yeah. Well, just so they could do the thing from episode 10 where he pulls out the Project Khan folder. The entire reason he was in it was for that.
For that.
But no, but I mean, like, not necessarily there in the show. I mean, like, why was Soong at the vineyard with the new board? Why is he there?
Because he hired them.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the thing.
What the hell happened to all the Borg, all the people who were assimilated? Their bodies are still in the past.
Exactly.
They're on.
See four.
Are we talking about butterflies?
Yeah.
We left the damn ship too.
Yeah. So they.
Well, they're either on the ship or in the house, and then when Picard goes back, they probably burn the bodies or something. There's a whole scene probably where Picard just phasering bodies to disintegrate them. Because Rios is collecting butterflies.
Okay.
So
the butterfly is real, like,
they left
in the
bullet
past,
holes,
but
vaporized all the bodies.
Yeah.
Oh, so that's what they did? Oh, they just vaporizing
bodies?
Yeah, we don't know what they did with the ship either. Oh, wait, that's right.
Well, Girardi took it.
Yeah, Girardi took it.
Girardi takes the ship. Yeah.
But there's tech all over the place. Like I said, YouTube got Seven and Rafi disappearing after a high-speed chase. That's probably on YouTube somewhere, on TikTok.
Yeah, that's definitely TikTok.
Thank you.
I mean,
yeah. Nobody didn't capture that.
Like, and I know this is going to come up later, but if a whole species can reverse engineer a warp bomb just by looking through the telescopes at a certain battle, I don't see why that is also not possible in this, you know, YouTube video. Something's happening here. The people just disintegrated into thin air. There's something going on there. Like, somebody saw that.
People probably wrote that off as like a... like somebody photoshopped or something. They're like,
fake. Yeah, the cops have photoshopped two women disappearing from like in their dash cam footage. All right.
Yeah. Video's fake.
Fake news.
Soong, like, I understand that he hired them, but I'm not understanding how disgraced geneticist has access to military covert ops grade personnel.
Top secret stuff.
Oh, like, those are contractors. Those are contractors.
Travis already said nah.
Yeah.
Those are Blackwater. That's not.
Yeah, that's who those are.
That's not regular military.
Did he go on the dark web and be like,
they never
need some
said
dudes
that.
Right
We're
now?
Just guessing.
But like, well, he probably knew like somebody who like, because he's rich. I mean, it's like Trump is friends with that guy who owns Blackwater. So in this case, he's like, send me some guys.
His sister was in the cabinet.
Secretary of Education.
So.
Well, no, it was 2024. So she's one of Biden's cabinet. So this whole story is dumb.
It doesn't.
There was lots of times where I'm like, yeah, I guess. Okay, I guess. Yeah.
I mean, these people would be, Rios got arrested how many times?
Three.
Like two.
My guy was on a DHS bus. The DHS bus was attacked. And the government is not out here with his face on everything.
And where's the guy? Where's that guy that was like special?
Yeah, the guy that they zoomed in on, who was probably, we were like, oh, that's his grandfather. But no, Rios is his own grandfather now. I'm deciding that.
Yeah, like, who is that? See, that guy's another person that they came up with an idea for. They probably have a whole story for him someplace and decided not to do anything with it.
I don't know. I think maybe they decided. I thought it was going to be like a story that went across season two and season three. And I think maybe they just decided, never mind. We'll go three all TNG. We'll nostalgia the hell out of you with season three. And we'll just cut off this two-season arc in the middle.
Literally.
Yeah, because back to the Borg Queen.
Yes.
Back to the Borg Queen and how awful that was. So she's on the bridge of Stargazer, right? They do their whole thing, which I liked because I like to see all the pretty ships. But then we're the Borg, we're the Guardians of the Gate, or the whole thing, and then nothing. Guardians of the Gate of what? What's supposed to come out of that gate? Like, is there like something that's supposed to happen at some point?
Species A-4-7.
Oh, wait. Take it back. Oh, take it back a little bit further where they're talking about, there's these readings and they have Rafi talking about that's a galactic event. Okay, well, what is it? What kind of galactic event?
It sounded like that was a reference to what Q and Picard were talking about when they were by themselves. And Q's like, it's not always a galactic event. Sometimes it's just about one person. But then Rafi's making the reference. Like, why? She wasn't in the room. She didn't know. She didn't understand that.
That doesn't make sense.
I mean, but the galactic event, again, a lot of assumptions here. Like, I'm assuming a galactic event is literally that something that has the potential to change a potential galaxy. Like, a galactic event would be the opening of a wormhole or a supernova of a sun or something like that. Like, something major, major, major that has ripples throughout the particular galaxy. Mm-hmm. So this big thing showing up here is, a galactic event. And that's something that we need to take notice of. But, like, you're telling me the Borg? This sect of Borg, because I know that Jurati's little Borg sect is not connected with the other Borg of the century. You're telling me that they joined the Federation? Okay, I guess. Like,
exactly.
But
are now part of the Federation at the end of the last five minutes of the show.
How the F? So did we just undo everything that happened in Voyager then? Because that Borg, because we're now back to Prime Universe, and Prime Universe Queen is Jurati. So was Seven never Like, I don't understand.
Jurati wasn't the Prime Universe queen. She was queen of a different branch of the Borg. Like, I'm thinking, like, there's, like, a subgroup.
Exactly. She's the Crip queen.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, because that's the thing.
It wouldn't make sense if they were
responsible for, you know, I saw somebody tweeted about it. They were responsible for, like, the code that allowed that Unimatrix Zero to exist and things like that. They did all kinds of stuff to help the Borg that were part of the collective be freer.
Okay.
And as a tweet, that makes sense. But
when you watch the other shows, you're like, no, it doesn't.
No, it doesn't. I'm sorry.
I saw Voyager. That's like, the first Trek I ever watched. I don't remember. I don't know if that works like that.
Yeah.
I know they wanted to give Allison Pill something to do in this particular season because, again, they literally could have just kept the Borg Queen character, the actress there, and Jurati would have been not necessary. Like, I feel like Jurati was put in position as the Borg Queen and Elnor was killed off literally because they didn't have anything to do with those characters this season. They wrote the story, but they didn't, those two characters didn't fit anywhere in the season. So they just kind of shoehorned them in these places and it still doesn't work.
You're right though. The Borg Queen could, if they had just convinced the Borg Queen to do the cooperative, you know, and become good, it would have been just as good as if she did merge with Jurati.
And I wanted more Annie. Jurati's useless.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep.
She's there for like 2 seconds.
Absolutely.
I can't believe it.
She did a great job.
She did.
Yeah. She did a good job. She did. She was amazing.
And Allison Pill did a good job doing an impersonation of her later on.
Which I liked.
Right. But it was unnecessary.
I'm gonna go ahead and say what they did with Elnor, unnecessary. What they did with Rafi in reaction to Elnor, unnecessary. Mm-hmm. Jurati, unnecessary. Rios, unnecessary. Like, all of that, all you guys had to do. Oh, going to the 24th century.
Definitely unnecessary.
21st century. Going to the 21st century. Unnecessary. Unless it was for a hot minute. The whole thing with the ancestor and the watcher. Unnecessary.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they could have literally, and I said this in previous episodes, in regards to Picard season 2, all they had to do was go back to, 2353 or 2358 or something like that, when Seven is assimilated and Picard has his deal with his Stargazer and things like that. They could have done all that back then and there. And it would have been way more plausible, believable. And the whole thing with going into Picard's mind like they did in episode 9, you could have easily done that then too.
Yeah,
I mean, we've done it. It was done on TNG, basically going through his past. Like, exactly. I don't. It could have been done again.
And a few minds on Star Trek.
Yeah, and I just
we did.
I agree. Like, we all thought. Dre and Travis and I did the theory episode when we first saw the Picard trailer, and we thought that's what it would be. Yep. Like, we thought it would be 2350, whichever year it was that Seven of Nine's family went to the Delta Quadrant to study the Borg. And we thought that would be what it was and go from there and delve, you know, and branch out to the other situations or the other shows that are referenced in the trailer. But nah. I mean, the only thing the 2024 gave us, the best part, I don't even need to say it. I'll wait because those two, that's the only thing I cared about.
I'm just going to look back a little bit. Go ahead.
I just, if you're going to have Q being the whole reason why this happened in the first place, where's him constantly at least messing with Picard and popping up? Like, he didn't even pop up that much. I'm like, he's supposed to be constantly around antagonizing Picard in some way, shape, form, or fashion. And we didn't even really get that. He popped up, this is a penance, Picard, and boop, he's gone again?
What?
All right, I guess.
I'm going to loop back to Soong for a second. Like, besides the fact that man shouldn't have been there, but you're telling me that this world-class disgraced geneticist who is spending all his time doing this research to extend the life of his daughter also has time to be on the dark web hiring military mercenaries and building secret drones that have the capability to destroy a spaceship. Who has the time?
And trying to kill travelers from the future. I don't think he was on the dark web.
I honestly think like he's like, I've got the resources. So I think I legit think that he like called somebody he knew who could hook him up.
Yeah, but like, call a contractor and be like, yo, I got a job for you.
Yeah. And like the drones though, the Wakanda drones, that didn't make any sense to me.
Like who, like the turnaround time.
Where the hell
this,
did that tech come from in 2024?
Like, okay, I'm willing to believe that he could make that call, but you gotta understand that this whole season of Picard takes place in about a week. Like, yeah. You telling me that he got those guys rounded up and to his city and got his drones delivered and installed and the setup with thing all in under a week?
Yeah, well, the drones and why did it start off with him, like, begging for funding like he had no money? Yeah. But then he's, like, throwing checks around like, to Project Europa.
We all forget, like, he's like, oh, please fund me, please. This man does not need funding. He's clearly very rich.
Yes. But
like some, like, yeah. I don't know where the disconnect was in the writer's room, but like they decided to make him a struggling, poor, disgraced geneticist, and then turned around and said, oh yeah, he's actually a secret, reclusive billionaire geneticist that has access to all this stuff. Like one or the other, it can't be both. And that certainly would not have changed from the beginning of the week, what, Tuesday, and then, you know, the next Sunday following. Like
he went bankrupt. He ran out of money.
Wednesday was payday, and so by Wednesday, he was hooked up again.
He sold his shares in Twitter. Elon Musk bought his shares.
That's what happened. Amazon, one day free delivery to get my drones.
It wasn't rent week. So he could handle it.
You know where I want to go next. Just to piggyback off the Soon conversation. You mean to tell me that all this high-tech classified information and Dodge was able to go to the library, put on a Google VR headset, and hack into his system,
Oculus.
Erase everything?
Can we talk about her hacking into his computer without an Oculus Rift?
Come on!
Come on.
Come on.
It's 2024. You know that thing's not that good yet.
Also, like, they didn't establish, like, ooh, is she a world-class computer hacker? Or
how did she get on these computers?
Just have
like,
shitty security just found out on she's his a clone. $1 million computer system?
Yeah.
Come on.
Because she didn't, leave with anything but the clothes on her back. So how did she get that?
She went to the library to do it. Literally.
Yeah.
She left herself.
Right. I'm like, you telling me, like, what good library? They have the best computer with the big tower and the 17 monitors.
No, she had an HP
the server, and she's doing it in the library with the Oculus Rift.
She had a VTech.
Like, come on. Like, y'all are just pulling stuff out of nowhere. Like, it wasn't. There are so many things that I'm like, okay, let me suspend my belief. Let me suspend my belief. I ran out of belief to suspend.
They were asking too much.
Yeah, it was 2024. I'm like, come on, like you get that wrong. How are you going to get 2024 wrong?
Like that's the problem. They said and we live only 2 years before it.
Like, exactly, because I mean they had them like super fascist still under the Biden administration, and then they had what's it called? Her using an Oculus to hack into the computer when she could have just broke out of Dell. I mean, they didn't
also,
have a contract with Microsoft.
Genetic manipulation. Has a person
secret bunker
that,
underneath his Tony
a
Stark
person
mansion.
That he grew and is like existing, and he has weird drone thing. But the U.S. government doesn't know about all of this.
Yeah, I mean, this guy's the king of drones anyway, because he had like that drone net that hovered over her. He was eventually
in the middle
gonna be the guy
of California.
Who created. Yeah, he was eventually going to be the guy who created the drones that surrounded the Earth. And then he gave up on all of that to make the Project Khan. Unless the
California
drones
would not allow that. Like, just no. Like this.
California, of all places. Like,
of all places, would not allow this dude to have that.
Center of tech startups. Like, somebody would have seen him coming. And knowing Sung, he would have been bragging about how smart he was to figure all this out anyway.
Yeah. But I mean, I wonder if the drones were supposed to be a connection to Data, and how the soon how the later soon would pick up on that work.
I think that's a fair assumption. Like, oh no, all my genetics work has been erased by my daughter because she's really good with the Oculus Rift.
He didn't have that in the cloud. He didn't have that in the backup.
What I was thinking. I was like, he doesn't have a cloud backup. Come on, man. Offsite backup. Like,
oh no, my information security is flipping out. Like, I erased everything. I hacked your
server. I hacked your cloud.
I hacked your everything. It's all gone. It's gone.
Yeah, apparently, one, she's that good of a hacker, and two, the deal that she got from Best Buy is that powerful.
Not the Best Buy.
And not to mention, that is one hell of a sophisticated computer network for a public library.
That's what I'm saying. What kind of Wi-Fi? Yo.
What kind of Wi-Fi?
I don't know how it is in the States. The libraries up here in Canada, they have decent computer connection. They have decent Wi-Fi. Like, are y'all libraries really rolling like that with the Wi-Fi? No. Really?
Yeah, we've got browser police. You can't get into certain websites. And I'm thinking you can't hack into secret government computers from the local public library.
You cannot monitor that. You really can't.
It's not possible.
You're
not. Exactly. But Dash is so good, she got around all that. Those firewalls were no match for her.
Also, she hacked to Gibson. Why the hell does she look like Soji? It's also hundreds of years before Data made Soji. I know they just want to reuse the actors, but it just seems.
Why does she look like that?
Talon still really annoys me. It really annoys me. Like,
there's no reason for her to look like that. You're right. But you know what's coming up next? What we got to talk about next? Wesley Crusher.
I got nothing bad to say about that. I have nothing bad to say about that.
Wonderful.
Yes.
When I saw him approaching, I knew who it was. I was like, is that Wesley?
I guess.
And let me tell you something.
She said, I guess.
Will Wheaton said, I'm not in Star Trek Picard season 3. But he didn't mention being in the finale of season 2. And I thought that was great. And we finally see what happened to Wesley. And apparently, it's a lot of these travelers who monitor time and space. And they just kind of exist.
They don't do shit. They just watch.
Yeah.
No, they do. They do stuff.
So here's the thing. If you were going to have a watcher, I've already said it could have been Guinan. But if you're going to bring in Will Wheaton, you know, you could have
Put him in there.
Thank you.
He was too powerful, though. I mean, you get the traveler in, and he's just going to change everything and fix it all. I mean, basically what they brought him in as was a Time Lord, because he's now part of a council of people who supervise time.
Apparently.
Who picks up a companion randomly on the street.
Yeah.
I was like, come on, man.
Exactly. Look,
He's Dr. Crusher now.
Okay, I like many people, I'm happy that we've got a conclusion 30 years out of what happened to Wesley after the events of, I don't remember what the name of the episode was, but Star Trek Season 7 episode, I want to say 20, but I might be wrong. I'm glad that we finally got a conclusion as to what happened to Wesley, but like, even as far as Star Trek goes, that doesn't really fit in with the canon. And I know, please guys don't groan. I'm not one of those people who's like canon. It doesn't make sense. But as far as Wesley's story goes, they've been, you know, here and there about what happened to him after he went off with the Traveler. I mean, I don't know how many of you guys watched Nemesis, but if you watch the deleted scenes in Nemesis, Wesley Crusher is at Riker and Troy's wedding.
But that's why it's deleted.
Fair, doesn't count. But if you read the books, he's also there.
Oh, he's chief engineer of the Titan for a while.
Yeah, he's chief engineer of the Titan under Geordi and Riker. So he's just able to come and go as a traveler as he pleases and live life. And if he's going to do that, why is he not married to Robin Loeffler already? Why is she not doing a whole time traveler's wife thing right there? Can somebody please explain me that?
We don't know that's not the case. But the things from the novel, I mean, they obviously don't count anymore. That's blown away. But I don't know. I thought the Wesley stuff fit, And but my problem with it is that it's which is fine to me sometimes, but it's another idea that they can just say, look, we have an idea, and then never speak of it again.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, when they beamed off, because to me, that's like, okay, next season, I'm going to get the old school crew chasing, looking for Wesley Crusher. But that's not what's
going on. For why, though?
Oh, we'll find out.
We don't know what's going on.
But it's never, but it's not going to be this. I mean, as far as we know, Will's not in next season. So, like, it's another,
I don't know.
I think it's a great idea. And I think I'd rather see the adventures of Time Lord Wesley than a Section 31 series.
I don't know about that.
I'm not interested in Section 31 at all.
Michelle, yo, I like, you know, I like the dark shit that DS9 introduced. So I'm fine with, like, I want people to realize that the Federation and Starfleet is just another government agency. Like, I want, so I'm happy with, but also Michelle, yo, kicking people in the face.
Yeah, but let's be realistic. When you have a utopia like that, I'm sorry, I find it extremely hard to believe that there isn't some type of secret organization that's helping to support that. That's just real. That, to me, that's just being realistic. Because as perfect as we want to try and sit here and think that, you know, that future is this whole utopian future, post scarcity, whatever, whatever, underneath the surface, there's some deep stuff that would probably be going on, like a Section 31.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that 100%. I just don't want to see it in Star Trek. I want Star Trek to be a little fake. I don't want it to feel so real. You know, I want to look at it and feel like
I'm showing this. How should I fake it?
Ouch.
I'm sorry. I want that because I think that's one of the problems that Star Trek has. How do we get there from where we currently are? And at some point, humanity is going to have to be kicked in the teeth. Like a Michelle, yo, it's like, hey, get it together. Because I think that is what's missing from Star Trek. How did we get to this utopian future beyond this nuclear apocalypse World War III scenario? How do we pick up the pieces after first contact with the Vulcans? Right. See, and if we want to try and prevent the whole World War III type deal and have none of that happen, how do we even get to that point to where something is catastrophic like that doesn't happen to us in real time?
See, the thing with Trek, though, for me, is that the whole point of it is that we got to that by being the best parts of ourselves, not by encouraging the worst parts of ourselves, even in secret, and ignoring them, which is basically what we're saying. Is like Section 31 happens, but we don't look too closely at that. We let them do the terrible stuff so the rest of us can pretend that we're good. And
but that's what I'm saying.
That's what I don't want to see in, and that's why the Section 31 stories were never that appealing to me, because I always felt like it goes beyond what Trek is supposed to be.
I'm seeing how we get these 2-hour episodes, y'all. Come on. I have to debate another time about a different series.
I just want to touch on a few more things before we have to wrap. In terms of Picard and leaving and Q leaving and Q looking at Picard and saying, you thought about keeping the key, you could have put it back. Like, why didn't you keep it? Why didn't you, like, if you know what was going to happen? Like, and Q is saying all this like we didn't all see Tapestry. Picard knows exactly what happens when you change pivotal moments in his life. You go back to the future and he's Lieutenant Junior Grade Astrophysicist Blue Uniform Picard, old man wasting away in his Starfleet career. Of course he's not going to want to go back to that.
And it would have been cool if he made that reference. It would have been cool if he said, you taught me that lesson already.
Yeah. Thank you. It's not something that would have been a debate. Like, Picard already knows what happens when you change things. I don't think that should have been in there anyway.
Read the Wikipedia summary of the episodes and then wrote the season. They didn't watch them. That's like me deciding to write a Star Trek series based off of season 6 and 7 of TNG. I didn't see it yet. Like, it's ridiculous.
I mean, like,
yeah, that's as if I tried to write something about Star Wars knowing I've only seen like it in movies. It's like, what? Yeah,
We know.
So we already got a couple of minutes left. So
just one more thing. I'm sorry, I had this long list. I told y'all guys you were gonna have to shut me up. Seven's augmentations. I know, like, I'm not happy that Seven is Borg again. Like, I see why they wanted to do that, but I don't think that her augmentations would have been exactly the same. Like, there's a different, when you're assimilated, I mean, you get enhancements based on body at the time and the state of your body at the time of assimilation. So I don't think Annika Hansen, who's never been assimilated and gets assimilated for the first time as an adult, is going to have all the same enhancements and augmentations as young Seven of Nine, who was assimilated as a child.
Something different.
Yeah.
Well, what she had left was based on what the doctor did on Voyager. So there should have been no reason for her to get the exact same.
Yeah, she should have been bald.
She gets the exact same thing, and presumably with her own cortical node, RIP Egypt, justice for Egypt. But still, like, it shouldn't have been exactly the same. I would have liked to have seen Jeri Ryan with a new look. I know that she is tired of having her eyebrow covered. I think she could have got something different. Just saying.
She could have. That left eyebrow, man, it's just like,
Star Trek got something against people left eyebrows. I'm sorry.
How do you keep your left eyebrow, Jerry? But, please come on the show and tell us how they do that. Because
yes, man, you know what made up for that for Seven? Miss Annika Seven Shots.
Oh wait, do we think she's keeping her ship? Do we think that she's keeping that field commission?
I hope so.
I want her to be tertiary adjunct of Unimatrix 01.
I also gotta say, like, when they just offhand reference, like, oh yeah, I tried to join Starfleet and they said no, and Janeway went to bat for me and she threatened to resign over, and I'm like, okay, so Janeway is up on some Irish mansion living her best farming life, because I know if they didn't do what Janeway wanted, she threatened to resign, she would have resigned. But if Janeway is still an admiral, she ain't pulling the strings like I thought she would be pulling the strings, especially for Seven.
Nemesis didn't happen. Okay, we didn't see her as an admiral. That didn't happen.
I don't know. I have a whole scene in my head.
That's the answer. Like, that's.
I have a whole scene in my head of Seven showing up with Admiral Janeway in the Starfleet uniform, and Janeway just becoming very happy about it, because I think it would work nicely.
That would be a great deleted scene.
I'm still upset that progressive thinking Star Trek people, after everything that Seven went through on Voyager, they told her no.
Yep.
Well, it was post Dominion War. Each was in Starfleet.
How did he get in Starfleet?
Each Heb was a baby and he was barely there. Like, he was in then they put him in a maturation chamber. He had only left a couple of years, so they probably thought Seven whole lifetime. And then you go and read everything that happened on Voyager, and then I'm just coming up with a reason. I'm trying to make it make sense.
I think it's very hypocritical for them to be taking Borg technology and using it to build their ships and using XBs to study and farm and make their own cube, and turn around and denying Seven entrance into Starfleet. Like, you can have Borg things, but only if they're this. Not you, Seven. You get nothing. Rude. I'm sorry. Did not like it.
But isn't that typical of Federation and how they're colonized?
Don't be saying that. People don't like when we call the Federation a bunch of colonizers.
They colonize us. We've been new.
We literally have a colony department. We went through this before.
So if you're new here, go back to our older episode.
Exactly.
Like, you're not wrong.
And a shuttle. Hello?
That's where it goes. That's what it is.
Exactly. 40 parsecs and a shuttle. Except they gave our girl a whole last starship.
But at least she got... We got to erase the image of her with Chakotay out of our minds.
That's true.
Thank God.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. And Marisha's not here, so I could talk mad shit about Chakotay. Okay. Thank goodness. Seven of Nine got her lady.
Thank you, because that shit was horrible. But I'm really hoping that we get a spinoff, because we see that the Rio spinoff that a lot of people were asking for is not going to happen, which... I'm sorry, I get it. Marisha, yes, she was right about her prediction that someone would stay behind, but it made zero sense.
I don't think it made zero sense.
I'm like, so you're going to give up a whole utopian post-scarcity future. That's
for a woman you met a week ago. Sorry.
I don't think he was happy in the future. I think he, like he said, like he's, well, before he got, you know, his captaincy, he was on the Serena for how long? By himself with the holograms? Like, yeah, he's in Starfleet now because of everything that happened in season one, but I don't think he was happy in the future. I'm not surprised that he stayed in the past.
It looked like he was starting to like develop a little family on Stargazer, like the little conversations he was having with like his first officer and whatnot. It felt like they had a friendship, and just I don't know. It felt like he just kind of gave all that up quickly.
I think they need to
slim the cast down for season three. That's what happened. Okay?
Which is exactly what happened.
They needed to slim the cast down because they got to bring in all these people from TNG.
Oh, yeah.
They got to pay a lot of money, too.
That's a lot of money.
Oh.
Yeah.
Y'all probably covered this in the previous episode, but Guinan not remembering who Picard is, and I understand, you know, Picard's coming from a future where the Federation doesn't exist, so Time's Arrow never happened, so he never went back in time to meet Guinan in the past, blah, 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 blah. And that logic would work if Guinan wasn't an Elorian with knowledge and awareness of multiple universes and dimensions. You telling me Guinan can look Tasha Yar in the face and say, you don't belong here, but she doesn't recognize Picard?
Yeah,
Seven got her some lady lips. Congratulations to 7 of 9 tertiary adjunct of Unimatrix 01. Laris is Picard's lady now, I guess. I don't know. And Beverly's about to be back, but whatever.
And Laris is in next season. They already did the cast. They already did the cast for next season. She's gone.
Congratulations to Beverly.
And poor Talon, now he just died. Like, okay.
Bye. Oh, they had to get rid of him. He can't stay. They said, no, I'm going to have to leave him. If Laris is the love interest, he's got to go.
So wait a minute. Whoa. So are we getting Laris in season 3?
No. Yeah. She's Orla Brady's not coming back.
At least that's what I see.
So what's the point of putting them together? You know what?
There was none. No. Beverly, your time has come, my girl.
Yet another idea that they thought was good and then didn't follow through on.
We'll see, I guess. That's the unless whole thing we get this Beverly. Episode. I guess.
I'm not sure I want to see at this point.
I don't know.
You tell me that I'm finally going to get my payoff with the Beverly thing, I'm happy.
After all these years, too, her time has come. Look, his heart is open now.
Okay.
Justice for Neej.
I sat through 10 episodes, so he better get him a romantic partner. Isn't that what this was about?
That's what I thought.
Him opening himself to love.
Wasn't that it, whole it conversation funny. With Guinan about?
It would be kind of funny, though, because he showed back up with Laris, and he's like, can I have second chances? And she just smiled and hugged him. She did not say yes.
She didn't say yes.
She said she was rolling out anyway. She just did something at his house before she left.
She might just be walking back out. No.
Yeah.
She was on the way. Laris was getting ready to bounce when he walked back in. I saw him back, and I was like, uh-oh.
She's like, these tickets are non-refundable, Jean-Luc.
Right?
You already turned her down. Why does she need to wait?
Yep.
Exactly.
It is what it is.
And you bounced on her without even saying goodbye, but whatever.
It don't matter. It's trash season. My rating.
Let's get in the,
my rating.
I'm outdone.
3.
To move on.
I'm going to be generous. I'd give it a 4.
Oh, that's out of 10. Or out of 5.
I gave it a 3 out of 10.
Out of 10.
Out of 10. Woo!
I'll stick with 3.
I'm giving it. I can't really give it a number. I'm giving it. Oh well, shit.
You gotta give it something.
I'm giving it a D plus, and the only reason why it's getting a D plus is because
a D plus out of 10.
Delta or
I have never heard anybody grade anything a D plus.
Okay, fine.
Isn't a D rude enough?
I'm gonna be generous. And give it a 5 out of 10. Simply because the whole season, I'm going to get a 5 out of 10. Simply because what it is they did with bringing Wesley back and giving us some closure. I enjoyed that. I enjoyed Seven and Rafi in that last episode. Seven getting her field commission and a few other elements. Because I can't forget about the first 3 episodes of this season. That shit was phenomenal.
That's why. Right. That's where my 3 out of 10 came from. One for episode.
Those first three episodes did a lot of heavy lifting for this entire season. So looking at the season overall, yes, it's going to get a 5 because of just that niche, those three niche episodes right there.
You give it a lot, girl.
That's so nice.
I know I'm giving it a lot. I'm trying to
She's
be generous.
She's extra points for the fashion.
Stop being generous.
Executive producers of Picard, come talk to Dre. She liked your season a little bit.
A little bit. Because, like I said, plus the acting, right? The actors did quite a bit. The costuming did a lot for me this year. The special effects did a lot for me, too. So overall, I'm looking at the whole deal. So I can give points for that a little bit, too.
I'm going to teach a Dre's class because she's generous.
I mean, really, you could pass that class.
I'm going to get 100.
You can pass
her.
That class is still passing.
You can pass Dre's class.
The whole deal. Look, the whole deal is for you to learn and to walk away with more knowledge.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's put on my report card. All right, cool.
This is not a season that I will be rewatching anytime soon. I'll just put it that way.
Ew. Thank goodness
7 is in season 3, so I don't have to go back.
Yeah. 7 and Rafi being in season 3 makes a whole, well, we think, because this Picard cast is being culled mightily.
Shout out.
Yeah. Well, maybe 7 will be their ride. She'll be the next generation's ride.
No. 7 is in it because Jerry tweeted out wrapping up season 3.
Okay.
So we're gonna get 7. How much? We don't know. Shout outs. Shout out to the cast for working with what it is they had. So Orla, Jerry, Michelle, Patrick, Evan, all of them.
And them.
Yeah.
Evan and Gloria, I hope you stay booked and busy because they didn't use you to your full potential. You deserve better.
Yeah.
And shout out to all the ship designers because we saw the ships for about 5 minutes, but they looked good. And I was so glad that we got some of the ships from Star Trek Online integrated into the canon. And we got to see the refit Enterprise NX-01 on Picard's coffee table, which means it's now part of the canon, which is fantastic because it's needed to be there for a minute. And we saw K-7.
If you go back to those first episodes and you look around at the stuff in alternate Picard's mansion, he's got all kinds of, you know, weapons and relics and things from stuff that isn't canon that's in there now. Like, they did a good job.
Yeah.
Somebody had a field day
they
going
to the
through
wiki.
Like,
I
the
told
storage
you.
Locker
they
where
just
they have
the
all the
wiki.
Star Trek stuff. It was good.
They went to the wiki. That's all it took. Okay.
But they had to go find all that stuff.
Yeah, they got people from those series to make this stuff. This the set designers and special effects guys. You got to give them props for that.
Okay, I'll give them props. I'm giving props to the actors. I'll give props to the trailer because it had good intentions.
I had such high hopes.
I can't give props for anything else. Just know that I'm disappointed, and I will try to come into season 3 with an open mind. Thank you, everyone, for listening to us complain about this season. When you finish the Picard episodes, you're going to be like, okay, Black Alert Podcast, but the one thing we try to be is honest. Sorry.
Keep on trekking.
Keep on trekking. Yeah, thank you for listening.